Well, hello everyone, and I'm on holiday, as you all know, but I have just got time to make this little video. AAA is off in a little activity play thing. The missus is having a massage treatment or something, and I have just snuck off into this little room. Hopefully I'm not going to be disturbed, and well, I'm going to talk about Joe Biden and what's happened in the past couple of days, because I'm sure you're all itching for some takes. I managed to get off one tweet, quite a long one, show you there. And basically what I'm going to do in this short video is go through each of these points and some of their wider implications, trying to answer some of the questions that people have asked while I do it. So, first point, and I think this is a very important point to make, is that I think over the past 12 months or so, it has become undoubtedly clear that the USA is an oligarchy run by billionaires who like Israel. Not the media, not the quote-unquote left, not the cathedral, but billionaires who have a specific agenda. And we've seen that where these billionaires place their money, they tend to get their own way. This brings me on to the second point, which to many people is going to seem counterintuitive, but the regime want Trump. Since the billionaires I just mentioned switched horses and pulled the rug from Biden for his criticism of Israel. And this has been increasingly clear since the events of October 7th, since the fracas on the campuses where the billionaires pull their money from various different universities, and you know, those same donors pulling money from Joe Biden, switching to Donald Trump, some of them pretty vocally. So that's the second point. Third point, Kamala Harris is a jobber, pure jobber, which means she is there to lose. If you're not familiar with pro wrestling parlance, a jobber is someone who is paid to lose, somebody who's there to make other people look better. If Kamala Harris stays as the candidate, she is in for an absolute pounding. And I don't mean in that sense. I mean she's just in for a hiding from Donald Trump. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. Some people are saying that they're going to run the fortification script. That's done. They're not going to do that again. She will be absolutely hammered by Donald Trump if indeed she remains the candidate. They may still switch her out. We'll see. Fourth point. Ukraine will be plunged down a sinkhole with the memory of Biden, as I've said for the past 12 months. So if you watch Unpopular Opinions, you'll know I've been saying for months now, possibly even over a year, that when the time comes, Ukraine will be wrapped up with Biden and plunged down a sinkhole, never to be heard of again. And I think that Trump's pick of J.D. Vance, who's a pretty anti-Ukraine war type guy, shows you the direction that America is headed. America's been done with Ukraine for a while. They got what they wanted from the war, which if you go back a couple of years ago, I made a video on the high-low middle mechanism showing what the USA wanted from the Ukraine war, which is essentially to put Europe and the EU back in its cage to prevent any kind of ambitions of a European army and things like that. And it did all that by destroying Nord Stream and absolutely subordinating Germany, France and all the other nations back under American power. Of course, if Europe goes its own way, that means it gets to make its own alliances, like siding with Russia against America and things like that. That's not going to happen now. Fifth, well, I mean, I think this was a blatant coup. It's obvious, pretty undignified for 81 million vote Joe to drop out via tweet and not press conference. I mean, if this was on his terms, he'd have a big press conference. There'd be some ceremony around it. We got none of that. We got a kind of photocopied, rubbish, kind of typo-laden letter that was put out on his Twitter handle. We still haven't seen Biden. I mean, it's over a day later, On Twitter, I called it a two-bit gypsy Dem move. And I do believe that the Democrats are actually a kind of criminal rogue element in the regime, and that a lot of their moves, which I would call two-bit gypsy moves, kind of speak to that scumminess. The regime has a certain kind of way of finesse about them when it's a regime operation. A lot of the Dem moves have been chaotic, they've been messy, they've been openly corrupt, criminal, and this is just another in a long line. I mean, I put the Trump trials, the whole kind of trying to put Trump behind bars, that was kind of a criminal Dem element, and this, I would say, is the same. In fact, a lot of people were asking, like, this whole theory I've got that the regime wants Trump, how do I square that with the fact that Trump was almost assassinated last week? And my view is that that was, if that had any kind of regime element or official sanction, it didn't really come from who we call the regime. It came from those rogue Dem elements, which I do think are wrapped in and around the Biden operation. Biden is criminal, basically, or has been criminal, despite what's happening to him now. What we're seeing is a kind of fall of a mob boss, essentially, who's vulnerable. And, you know, in this moment of vulnerability, they've basically called out a hit on old Joe. And now another criminal mob boss, Kamala Harris, is kind of trying to pikey into the place. And they are pikeys. I also have this view that there's only a certain amount of corruption that any regime, even one as kind of morally bankrupt as ours, can tolerate. And I think that for some time, the regime has kind of had enough of Democrat shenanigans, criminal Democrats shenanigans. And that brings me on to my sixth point, which is that post-Kamala Harris, post-Harris, because she will lose if she runs, power, capital P power, will discipline the Dems to be less of a shit show, and we'll see a version of what's happened to Labour under Keir Starmer over there in America, possibly under Gavin Newsom. Maybe Newsom can be this kind of progressive realist thing that Starmer's trying to do now. And seventh, American commentators who miss these points are at this point part of the kayfabe and or paid partisans. Many observant leftists can see this, by the way. Now I know that many people disagree with this and loudly disagree with this, but you have to have a look at their incentives. Maybe they've made their bed, maybe they've made various predictions in the past and need to, through, you know, psychological reasons, double down on those, or maybe they're just straight up paid to, you know, be on one side or the other. I mean, I remember some time ago, 2 years ago at an event, Curtis Yarvin was there, and he and I disagree pretty fundamentally on the nature of power, because he said, and I quote, "Money has no power," whereas I believe that the regime is straightforwardly oligarchical with money at the top. He thinks the media controls the show. I think, well, that's not true, because when ownership changes of a newspaper, the direction of that newspaper changes. Just as when control at CNN changed, the editorial direction changed. I mean, it's just obvious. And, you know, you'd have to ask Curtis Yarvin why he plays down the power of money and tries to play up the role of the priest class or the intellectual class. So anyway, that's a long-standing disagreement. He thinks my view is quote-unquote Marxist. I just think that it's right. It's just objectively right. But anyway, my time is short, friends. I'm going to go back to my holiday, back to my hot tub and, you know, all the other stuff I've been up to. And I'll be back next week. Most importantly of all, friends, buy courses, etc. But get out.